Ladies and gentlemen, it's Thursday, October 17th, 2024. This is the InfoWars War Room. And we have a bunch of election news for you today. And obviously, the big story right now is Kamala Harris's disaster of an interview with Bret Baier. But as usual, the Democrats and the media are trying to figure out how to handle that. And you can tell it was a disaster because they're speaking out of both sides of their mouths. And you have the Democrat propaganda agents basically talking about how great it was. But then you also have the mop-up crew saying things like she was ambushed, it was racist, it was unprofessional. So they can't decide. What was it a disaster, but it was an ambush and racist and everything else? Or was she just so great? Which one was it? And so they're trying to play it both ways, but no, that's not what happened. It was a complete disaster. Everybody saw it, and now they're trying to recover afterwards and make all the excuses as to why it was so bad. But of course, we know why it was bad. It was the first real interview that was somewhat tough since 60 Minutes. But the reason it was worse than the 60 Minutes interview, because this one was actually taped to live. This wasn't canned and then edited like the 60 Minutes interview. This was taped to live. And then apparently her crew is running around, and there's some mixed messages on this, but apparently her crew is running around, the Harris team is running around and waving off Bret Baier, basically throwing in the white towel, waving the white flag like, end it, it's over. Like a fighter who's bleeding out of both eyes and his mouth and his nose, can't even see, out on his feet. They were throwing in the towel in the middle of the interview. So we're going to play all those clips for you. And yeah, we can look at the updated electoral maps, but again, these are assuming that we're going to have a fair election. I'm not so naive. So my numbers are still different, and I think now Georgia might be up for play. Interestingly enough, Marjorie Taylor Greene came out and made a statement about the record turnout. She thinks it's good news for Trump. She thinks these are Trump voters that are getting out to vote early. I don't know. I can't. I would say it's not. I would say these are Democrats voting early. And based off of what happened in 2020 in Georgia and the record they set for early voting then, I think that would lead me to think that this is good news for the Democrats. When we were out asking college students, we've still got some videos to come out from that, talking to college students on the University of South Carolina campus, all the people that early voted, they all voted Democrat. So early voting is more of a Democrat thing, it seems. But maybe we'll go to that clip. In fact, I don't even think I sent that to the crew, but maybe we'll play that clip. But anyway, the point being, don't look at this Electoral College map and think it's good news. We're still fighting in the courts. That's where this thing is going to be won or lost. Yes, if it was a fair election, Trump would get 340 plus Electoral College votes, but that's not where we're at. So I got that and other big legal news. Other big legal news going on in the courts right now to try to stop this election from being stolen. We've also got some important health news today.
Irish sea moss has been all the rage in the last 5 years because when folks started discovering it, it took the country and the world by storm because of the incredible effects it has. It's probably the greatest superfood out there, full of organic-based iodine and a whole bunch of vitamins and minerals. And we've got the gummies and the capsules now in stock at thealexjonesstore.com that are some of the strongest and best out there. Up to 55% off when you get three bottles, over 40% off when you get two bottles, 40% off when you get one bottle, and it's in stock right now. Ultimate Sea Moss at our great sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, check out the hundreds of designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, and hoodies. And regardless what happens to InfoWars here in the next 28 days, ladies and gentlemen, your support of our sponsor will make sure I am able to stay on air. So please take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Get the ultimate sea moss gummies and capsules, as well as other amazing supplements and Patriot apparel. God bless you. Now, thanks for the support.
53 minutes until Election Day. 18 days. 18. This is your election headquarters, InfoWars War Room. Counting down the days with you, keeping you updated on all the latest and breaking news dealing with the presidential election. We've got a lot of it today. A couple legal fights that are going on. I can't believe these aren't getting more news coverage, really. And these are two very legitimate, respected groups going through this right now. Rasmussen Polling and Judicial Watch. But stay tuned to get that news. And then, I mean, they don't even care anymore. The law, they will break any law to steal this election. You won't believe what's going on now. They're already traveling people across state lines to canvass for Kamala Harris. Now they're bringing people in from overseas, and not just anybody. Yeah, which is completely illegal. They don't care. They're bragging about it. So we'll show you all of that. But I think we should begin with all the Kamala Harris clips and just look at the split response here, because they don't know what to do. Obviously, this thing was a disaster for many different reasons. She appeared, I can't even say unprepared, but yes, she appeared to be unprepared. But it's really not even that. She doesn't prepare. She can't be prepared. All they have is their lies and attacks on Donald Trump, and she's used to just softball interviews. So what is there to prepare for? If she answered the questions honestly, it would go bad. But that's how she came off, as ill-prepared. And what usually happens when things are going downhill, and you can see this in any debate, including the debate that I was in on Monday, when things go downhill, what happens? The person that's losing it starts to lash out, shout, raise their voice, curse. And so that's where it ended for Kamala Harris. Lashing out, screaming. So then she seems to lack poise. She seems to lack confidence. Very unpresidential. Not like a leader would be. Really just an utter failure. And then there's the optics. And really, I think here the optics probably matter the most. She looked like a small person. And the camera angles did her no favors. There was the over-the-shoulder shot of Brett Baer. And Brett, you know, has like a square jaw, square head, pretty broad shoulders. You know, he looks like what a command sergeant in the military might be, like a drill sergeant. And so just that presence next to Kamala made her appear very small. It didn't help that they put an oversized pants suit on her with oversized heels. It didn't help that the way she was framed up in her solo shot, there was a lot of extra space that makes her look small. These things matter. And believe me, when you work in television and you deal with professionals, a lot of people who are just obsessed with their appearance, you learn how quickly this stuff matters. And it does matter. So I don't know if Harris's team even had any say over these camera shots or if they even realized how bad it is. So many people have quit the Kamala Harris campaign. So many people have left the vice president's office. You know, who knows what's even left there or if they even care to try to protect her anymore at this point. Some people are thinking that this whole thing, that maybe her campaign is setting her up for failure with this. I'm not so sure I believe that. I mean, she has to do interviews. You're 18 days till the election. You have to do interviews. And you have to go in places where you might be able to pull some new voters. So that was the goal here. It failed miserably. But the optics were bad. And then you have her, again, looking like a tiny person next to Brett Baer, square shoulders, square jaw, And then she's lashing out and she's getting angry and she's furrowing her brow and she's flaring her nostrils. Very unpresidential, very unlikable, very brash. Not good. Not good. And people will just see that. You know, they don't, maybe they know and care about the issues. Maybe they don't. They see that and they are just, turn off. Big time turn off. Especially for men. And you know, she's not pulling too well with men. This deal didn't help at all. This deal didn't help at all. So she came off at the end of it very angry, unprepared, lacking poise, and not presidential at all. She looked weak next to Bret Baier. Now, of course, you've got half of the Democrat propaganda media immediately jumping up and saying what a great job she did. It's your usual suspects. They're paid by the Democrat Party. And they're immediately telling you how great she was. But then you have the others that have, I guess, some integrity left enough to, or at least they don't want to completely lose their audience. So they can't lie and say that this was a good interview. It was a disastrous interview. So then you have them coming out and they're saying it was a setup. It was racist. It was an ambush. Which is basically sacrificing, yeah, this was a disaster. Look, I would say for me, I've never seen an interview this bad. She would have been better off walking off the set. She would have been better off, instead of losing her cool, saying Donald Trump's name 20 times, she would have been better off just taking off the mic and saying, you know what? I don't think you're being fair, and walking off. It would have been better for her that way. That's how bad this was. So the fact that the media is out there, the Democrat propaganda media is out there saying it was an ambush, it was racist, it was misogynistic, tells you they know it was a disaster. So they can put out all the propaganda about how great she was, calling it an ambush and all these other things, just admits, yeah, you know it was bad. Social media explodes after Kamala Harris' total train wreck interview as supporters blast Fox News' Bret Baier for ambush. It was an ambush because he asked her real questions and she couldn't answer. Kamala Harris' campaign accuses Fox News of ambushing the Democrat nominee. But again, then you have the usual suspects right out of the Democrat Party, Obama advisors, Harris team members, the same propaganda agents they pay on Twitter and X and Instagram and TikTok and everywhere else. Kamala Harris was strong and handled an ambush Fox interview light years better than the hash Donald Trump unstable made of the Fox pep rally disguised as a town hall. So was it an ambush and you have to call it a racist, sexist ambush because it was so bad, or did she do great? They have no choice. They have no choice. You're 18 days from an election. You have to do interviews. So they could have hit her the whole campaign. It's not going to work. There's no pandemic to blame it on like they did with Joe Biden. They tried to hide her. She's been the nominee for, I think, 90 days or so, give or take. She's been the nominee, let's say, for 90 days. They hit her for about the first 75. But now you're 18 days and you've got to do interviews. You've got to try to win an election. And so her interview tour has been a complete disaster. Even in the softball interviews, it's been a disaster. So she can't stop now. But this is going to continue to be the scramble. So it's going to be, oh, it's the interviewer's fault. It's the network's fault. It's your fault because you're a racist. But then it's going to be also how great she did. So she does so bad, they have to blame the interviewer, blame the network, blame you, the racist audience member. Or she's so great. She's Slade. She's Queen. She's Brat. None of it works. None of it works. And everybody sees it. And, you know, I could point to the poll numbers all day long. Again, poll numbers have some significance, but not much. This election is going to be won in the courtroom, not the ballot box. But everybody sees this from the Hill. Vice President Kamala Harris's momentum slows in election race. The tides of the election are turning against Vice President Harris. Trump is taking his biggest leads in all the swing state. He's taking his biggest leads in now all the betting markets. That's kind of a new political phenomenon, but there it is. The betting markets, the polls, everything. Trump is winning. He's taken over all the swing states. He's closed the gap in some of these blue states. So let's get in to some of these clips. Let's start with Kamala Harris talking about how she would never say something about that like that to the American people, but then she's actually on the record saying that exact same thing about the American people in clip four.
So are they misguided, the 50%? Listen, are they stupid?
What is it? I would never say that about the American people.
What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid.
Oof. She would never call the American people stupid, except she actually did. She actually did. She gets asked a tough question on the border, doesn't handle it well. Clip five.
The country is on the wrong track. They say the country is on the wrong track. If it's on the wrong track, that track follows 3.5 years of you being vice president and President Biden being president. That is what they're saying, 79% of them. Why are they saying that? If you're turning the page, you've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
But you've been the person holding the office.
Come on. Madam Vice President. You and I both know what I'm talking about. You and I both know what I'm talking about.
I actually don't. What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is that over the last decade, people have become. But listen, over the last decade, it is clear to me, and certainly the Republicans who are on stage with me.
So that was her. I kind of went to the wrong clip here. I'll go to the border clip. So that was her I've never been to Europe moment. Remember? When she was in charge of the border and she was asked, well, you haven't been to the border. And she goes, well, I've never been to Europe. So you've been in office the last 4 years. Well, Trump's been running for office. Okay, well, what does that have to do with anything? And she wants to say, oh, the last decade. Okay, let's look at the last 10 years of who's been running the White House. It's been Democrats for the majority of that time. So that doesn't hold water either. Oh, the last decade has been bad. Okay, the last decade, the Democrats have had more power than Republicans. So you're blaming the Democrats again. So, I mean, that's just an embarrassment. Trump's been running for office? Wow. And you've never been to Europe. Here's the border question in clip six.
Original premise. Jocelyn Nungeri, Rachel Morin, Lakin Riley, they are young women who were brutally assaulted and killed by some of the men who were released at the beginning of the administration, well before a negotiated bipartisan bill. Former President Clinton actually referred to Lakin Riley Sunday, campaigning for you in Georgia, saying if those men had been properly vetted, Lakin Riley probably would not have been killed. So if it wouldn't have happened, this is well before any negotiation. This is well before Donald Trump got involved in the politics. This is a specific policy decision by your administration to release these men into the country. So what I'm saying to you, do you owe those families an apology?
Let me just say, first of all, those are tragic cases. There's no question about that. There is no question about that. And I can't imagine the pain that the families of those victims have experienced for a loss that should not have occurred. So that is true. It is also true that if a border security had actually been passed 9 months ago, it would be 9 months that we would have had more border agents at the border, more support for the folks who are working around the clock trying to hold it all together.
Madam Vice President.
To ensure that no future harm would occur. And this election in 20 days will determine whether we have a president of the United States who actually cares more about fixing a problem, even if it is not to their political advantage in an election, because there was a solution, Brett.
Madam Vice President, it was a policy decision in the early part of your administration. I will let one of the mothers talk about it. Take a listen.
Because of the Biden-Harris administration open border policies catch and release, they were enrolled in the Alternatives to Detention program. This meant that they were released into the United States. It was not even a full 3 weeks later that they would take my daughter, Jocelyn Nungare's life. I believe the Biden-Harris administration open border policies are responsible for the death of my daughter.
That's the early days. So do you owe them an apology is what I'm saying.
I will tell you that I am so sorry for her loss. I'm so sorry for her loss. Sincerely. But let's talk about what is happening right now with an individual who does not want to participate in solutions. Let's talk about that as well.
But do you want to answer?
In all fairness, I told you, I feel.
Notice how she's not talking about
for
solutions.
What she and her family have experienced.
Now she's going to talk
about
Trump. During
that time, you said repeatedly that the border was secure. When in your mind did it start becoming a crisis?
I think we've had a broken immigration system transcending, by the way, Donald Trump's administration even before. Let's all be honest about that. I have no pride in saying that this is a perfect immigration system. I've been clear, I think we all are, that it needs to be fixed. We need more. I was just down at the border talking with border agents.
And they
will tell you, and I'm sure you probably, I know you investigate and you are a serious journalist. They will tell you, we need more judges. We need to process those cases faster. We need the support for those cases that should be prosecuted. They need more resources, and Congress ultimately is the only place that that's going to get fixed, Brett.
Well,
that's how this system works.
That's the premise of this question.
But
there were 90-plus executive orders that were rescinded in the first days. Many of those were Trump border policies. I'm not going to stay here because there's other things to talk about, but you frequently talk to the Border Patrol Union for support of that bipartisan bill, and they did. They supported it. But they also just endorsed Donald Trump and said you've been, quote, a failure with border security. Why do you think they said that?
I think they're frustrated, and I get it. They want support.
Yeah, they're frustrated with you, and you're not supporting them. I mean, that's just a complete disaster. So it's this idea, again, they want to have their cake and eat it too. Elect us and we'll get things done. Okay, you've been in power. Well, we have no power to get things done. It's Congress. So again, they can't have it both ways here. Elect me and I'll secure the border. Okay, you've been in power. Why haven't you secured the border? Well, it's because Congress. We have no power to secure the border. Well, what about these executive orders, 90 of them, that Biden scratched? But the border's been a problem. So it's like, oh, we have no power. We can't do anything. Give us a break. Nobody buys it. And so she can't win that. She can't win that. The only way she could win it is actually by being honest and admitting it's been a disaster at the border. But she can't do that. She then gets asked, when did she notice Joe Biden's mental decline in clip 7?
You called Donald Trump... he's misguided. You say now
he's
unstable.
He is unstable, Brett.
He's not well. You say he's mentally not stable.
Pause it real quick. She comes off as extremely unstable in this interview, by the way, including in that little clip. So, I mean, that's not really playing well either. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. You told many interviewers that Joe Biden was on his game, that ran around circles on his staff. When did you first notice that President Biden's mental faculties appeared diminished?
Joe Biden, I have watched in from the Oval Office to the Situation Room, and he has the judgment and the experience to do exactly what he has done in making very important decisions on behalf of the American people. Joe Biden is not on the ballot.
I understand.
Yeah, because his mental faculties declined.
You talked about it.
And Donald Trump
after George Clooney said within a few minutes of talking to President Biden at a fundraiser that he thought this was not the same Joe Biden that we saw on the debate stage.
Donald Trump is on the ballot.
I understand. You met with him at least once a week for 3.5 years. You didn't have any concerns?
I think the American people have a concern about Donald Trump, which is why the people who know him best, including leaders of our national security community, have all spoken out, even people who worked for him in the Oval Office.
She can't answer the question because she lied about it for all these years. Here she is asked, you say all these things about Trump, but half the country still supports him. Clip 9.
Why, if he's as bad as you say, that half of this country is now supporting this person who could be the 47th president of the United States, why is that happening?
This is an election for president of the United States. It's not supposed to be easy.
I know, but
it's not supposed to be. It is not supposed to be a cakewalk for anyone.
So are they misguided, the 50%? Are they stupid? What is it?
Oh, God, I would never say that about the American people. And in fact, if you listen to Donald Trump, if you watch any of his rallies, he's the one who tends to demean and belittle and diminish the American people. He's the one who talks about an enemy within, an enemy within, talking about the American people. Suggesting he would turn the American military on the American people.
All right, we'll address that egregious lie coming up in the next segment. And, of course, Donald Trump at his rallies talks about how great the American people are and how he believes in the American people. But we'll address that egregious lie. This was the worst moment for Kamala. This is where she completely lost it. This is where she came off on unstable and unhinged in clip 3.
Talked about locking people up because they disagree with him. This is a democracy. And in a democracy, the president of the United States, in the United States of America, should be willing to be able to handle criticism without saying he'd lock people up for doing it.
And of course, it's this administration that has locked up their political opposition. But that's when she lost it, and you can see it on Bret Baier's face. You can see the exact moment where he's like, she's cooked. She's done. She's lost. It is a complete disaster, folks. It's her worst one yet.
Why does the whole world sound like Alex Jones now? Why does Elon Musk sound just like me? Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, Russell Brand, the list goes on and on.
Can I tell you, this is crazy, but a few years ago, I interviewed Alex Jones. One of the things he was telling me was about fluoride and about early puberty and about the frogs when exposed that went from male to female.
Mm-hmm.
I went back to NBC. We had all these fact checkers. It was all true. We found out all this stuff he was saying was true. And here I am across from you, Harvard educated Johns Hopkins attending physician saying, yeah, fluoride, just like Alex Jones was saying, not good. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's because what I've been covering on the air for over 30 years is from the globalists' own documents, their own battle plans, their own white papers, their own publications. And when I first got on air 30 years ago, I looked back at what the globalists said they would do in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and early 90s, and I saw that they'd gotten almost all of it done. So then I said, wow, these folks pretty much are in control, trying to get full control. I better look into what their future plans were. And it's absolutely hellish. 80% forced global depopulation, making the humans that are still alive be biomedically controlled with poisons and things introduced to their bodies when they're young, so the medical system has complete control over you for the rest of your life. No borders, the destruction of the nuclear family, pedophilia being normalized, literally a satanic world government system. And if you look at everything that we've been exposing, it's all out in the open now. The enemy has taken off the mask. And they knew that as this system goes from beta to operational, as it begins to emerge in everybody's face, that we're going to have incredible credibility. And that's why they need us off the air. Because my work, my most important work, isn't the past. It's what we're going to do in the present and the future. So regardless of what happens to InfoWars in 28 days from the time I'm taping this on Tuesday, October 15, if you simply support our sponsor, the alexjonesstore.com, we will work with the sponsor and ensure that not just my show, but our investigative reports and everything that we're currently doing and hopefully in the future expanding continues on. But we cannot do it without you. So when you call in thanking me, I always say back, I want to thank you. You're the reason we're still on air. You're the reason we've had all this incredible success. So I salute you and thank you for your past support. And I tell you now, look at the world. Look at our credibility. Look at everything that's happening. The public's mind and hearts and souls are ready for the truth. And our most important work is just now beginning. So please keep me on the air one way or another. It's in your hands, not the globalist hands. They're not in control of this. It's you. Go to the alexjonesstore.com. Get incredible supplements like Ultimate CMOS gummies. And now we have the powdered pills that are twice as strong as the gummies. It is the superfood. It is mixed with a whole bunch of other incredible superfoods that turbocharge it. Go to the alexjonesstore.com and look at the ingredients and research them for yourself. And then most importantly, order a bottle and try it. And I know you're going to be hooked. You're going to love it. Stamina, libido, focus, energy, your health, your immune system, all electrochemical activities have to have iodine. And that's just one of the naturally occurring compounds that is in the Ultimate CMOS from Irish CMOS and more. And then, ladies and gentlemen, all of these amazing Patriot Design t-shirts, hoodies, and ball caps. New ones are being added every day. There's over 120 different designs on the site. Wristbands, bumper stickers. It's all there on the site, all about spreading the word and meeting like-minded people in the third dimension while you keep the tip of the spear on the air. So now it is go time. Go to the alexjonesstore.com. Get amazing supplements. Get amazing Patriot clothing. Spread the word. Meet like-minded people and keep our broadcasts on the air.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Deceptions. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, so obviously the Democrat propaganda media is running cover for Kamala Harris immediately following that disastrous interview, and I could play hours of it. But I'm not going to show you all The View and Joy Reid and MSNBC and Sonny Hostin and all them. It's racist. It's sexist. It's misogynist. It's an ambush. But we'll show you a couple of them. Because you notice what she does at the end when she starts talking about how Trump demeans the American people and how Trump wants to turn the military on the American people. Now, we spent about 10 to 20 minutes on that story yesterday. The Department of Defense has actually authorized the military to use lethal force on the American people. That was a policy set in place just a month ago, less than a month ago, in September 2024. Official Department of Defense memo and policy change. And so certainly, you know, I guess it's fair to assume that's in it. Anticipation of they steal it from Trump, they refuse to certify Trump, another January 6th type of protest happens, million plus people in D.C. This time they actually will send security, they'll send the military, and I guess what? They'll have a bunch of green-haired trannies and leftists shooting, killing the American people. So that's not a Trump policy. That's literally a Department of Defense memo under the Biden-Harris administration. So that's all projection. So they misrepresent that. They lie about who demeans the American people. That's Joe Biden. That's Kamala Harris. That's if you don't vote Democrat, you're not black. So here's Don Lemon in a little bit more of the clip. Here's him running defense for Kamala Harris. He has to do it a selfie video on his phone now because he doesn't work for CNN anymore. And then he got canned after one show on X as well. Go ahead.
Okay, Fox News, you have a problem. You need to address this. This was one of the most egregious things in this interview, if not a flat-out lie that you aired. Watch.
Are they misguided, the 50%? Listen, are they stupid?
What is it? I would never say that about the American people.
And in fact,
if you listen to Donald Trump, if you watch any of his rallies, he's the one who tends to demean and belittle and diminish the American people. He's the one who talks about an enemy within.
He's talking about the corrupt government.
Talking about the American people.
It's about the corrupt government.
Suggesting he would turn the American military on the American people.
We asked that question to the former president today. Harris Faulkner had a town hall, and this is how he responded.
I heard about that. They were saying I was like threatening. I'm not threatening anybody. They're the ones doing the threatening. They do phony investigations. I've been investigated more than Alphonse Capone. He was the greatest gangster. No, it's right. True.
We've
no,
got
but
a
think
question.
Of it. It's called weaponization of government. It's a terrible thing.
So,
Brett, I'm sorry, and with all due respect, that clip was not what he has been saying about the enemy within that he has repeated. When he's speaking about the American people, that's not what you just showed.
Well, you're the enemy within. No, you opened the border.
That's not what you just showed in all fairness and respect to you.
No, no, no. I'm telling you that was the question that we asked him.
You didn't show that, and here's the bottom line. He has repeated it many times, and you and I both know that. And you and I both know that he has talked about turning the American military on the American people. He has talked about going after people who are engaged in peaceful protest. He has talked about locking people up because they disagree. Agree with him. This
That's
is
what
a
you
democracy.
Guys have done. You did all three of those
and
things.
And in a democracy,
and we're not
the
a democracy.
President of the United States, in the United States of America,
how many votes did you get?
Should be willing to be able to handle criticism without saying he'd lock people
And this is
up
how she handles criticism.
It.
Look
and
at how she handles
it.
This
is what is at stake.
So here's the problem with that.
She just lied?
She's right.
Oh.
This is what Donald Trump actually said.
Uh-huh. Well, the people from within. We have some very bad people. We have some sick people, radical left lunatics. And I think they're the and it should be very easily handled by, if necessary, by National Guard, or if really necessary, by the military. Because
so
they
now
can't
he's talking about
the
BLM type riots.
Now, Fox News.
They burn cities to the ground.
Unless you address this, you're doing the American people and your viewers a disservice. Because the people in your media bubble echo chamber will never see the truth. You put on television a flat out lie. Are you going to fix it?
Sorry, it's just so ridiculous. So again, the only reason he has to put out that little video is because the whole thing was such a disaster. Kamala Harris losing her cool, losing her poise, lashing out, flaring her nostrils, screaming. And then he just tells the exact opposite. So okay, let's be honest. Trump talked about having the National Guard and maybe the military to deal with some of these riots where cities burned to the ground. He wanted the National Guard in D.C. for January 6th. The Democrats turned it down, just like they did during all the rioting from Antifa and Black Lives Matter. I think the only other time would have been when he said he would send in the military to deal with the gangs in Chicago, gang violence. So, I mean, that's just the truth, whether you agree with it or not. It's the Kamala Harris, Joe Biden administration that has imprisoned their political opposition, that has censored their political opposition, and that regularly insults Trump voters, dating all the way back to before Trump got elected the first time with Peter Stroke and Lisa Page and Barack Obama. So it's all projection. And then they try to take everything he says out of context. But whatever. You already know that. They are running cover because they know what an absolute disaster this interview was. So they're immediately jumping out to run for cover to try to save Kamala Harris's campaign here. She looked bad, folks. I'm telling you. I mean, look. Even women. You know, for men and women, it's a little different. But, you know, men might be more jumpy, if you will, to label a woman a bitch. But women really know. I mean, women really know. And if there were women on the fence, believe me, they're weary. They saw a bitch. If not a see you next Tuesday in that interview. It was heavy. Believe me. That might have turned off a lot of women even. That's how bad it was. Watching her lash out like that. They've probably dealt with women like that. Here's Brian Stelter, who's back on CNN. Lemon is out. Stelter is back in. Let's listen to his cover here in clip 15.
I think this strategy from Harris was a Google strategy. She wanted Fox viewers to start to Google some of the things she was saying, because some of the comments she was making in this interview are foreign to the Fox audience. For example, General Mark Milley saying Trump is a fascist to the core, that's barely been covered on Fox News. So she was able to get some of those talking points in. This was the most adversarial interview Kamala Harris has probably ever done.
Yes.
Instead of getting to debate Trump again, she got to debate Bret Baier. And a lot of viewers are going to come away saying, wow, she's willing to do that. That's a sign of toughness and strength.
Wow. You know, Brian Stelter was probably polishing off his dome, thinking how genius he was. You know, that wasn't meant to be double entendre, but it might be. He does do television in his underwear. Oh, I'm going to say it was a Google interview. Yeah. He was like, he thought he was a genius for that. Oh, man, he thought he was so smart. And the funny thing is, even that goes against Kamala Harris. Now people are going to Google Jocelyn Nungary. Now people are going to Google all of these women and children that have been killed, their names, that have been killed by illegal immigrants let in by Kamala Harris. The Biden-Harris policies that have let them in and they've killed and raped women. You want to talk about things that don't get covered on the news? That doesn't get covered. You know, it's this funny thing, and I'm just so sick of it. They just throw these words out there. Fascist is like one of these words that they throw out there. I don't think, do they even know the meaning of it? Do they even care? How is Trump a fascist? Biden is the one cutting deals with Big Pharma to force vaccines into the military, force vaccines upon government employees. Where are the fascists here? So they just make up these terms and just throw them at you. Trump supporters are fascists. Trump supporters don't like the government. Trump supporters don't trust big corporations, big media. What do you mean they're fascists? You're the fascists. It's the same thing. It's all projection. It's all reverse reality. All right, here's a little extra from Kamala Harris in another interview she did. This is one of the softball ones. She thinks, so who really thinks Americans are stupid? She says Trump insults the American people. Who really thinks the American people are stupid? Listen to this in clip 8.
Is agreeing to voter ID one of those compromises that you'd support?
I don't think that we should underestimate what that could mean. Because in some people's mind, that means, well, you're going to have to Xerox or
hold on. I'm sorry. Let's. My brain is hurting. I think I'm losing IQ points. This might be abuse to the audience. I might have to stop this. This is actually getting unethical to do this to my audience. I should at least put out a warning. I should be fair here. And to the crew, too, I apologize. Let's start it from the top. Let's give a proper warning. I apologize. Viewer and listener discretion is advised. The clip you are about to hear will lower your IQ and make you a dumber person. And so please prepare yourself for ultimate stupidity here. And again, the look, I mean, she's over makeuped, the lighting, maybe they're trying to make her look black here. I don't know. It's just the whole presentation is another flop. But viewer discretion, listener discretion advised, the following clip may cause you to lose 2 or 3 IQ points. So watch with that warning and your own discretion. Go ahead.
Is agreeing to voter ID one of those compromises that you'd support?
I don't think that we should underestimate what that could mean. Because in some people's mind, that means, well, you're going to have to Xerox or photocopy your ID to send it in to prove you are who you are. Well, there are a whole lot of people, especially people who live in rural communities, who don't. There's no Kinko's. There's no Office Max near them. People have to understand that when we're talking about voter ID laws, be clear about who you have in mind and what would be required of them to prove who they are. Of course, people have to prove who they are, but not in a way that makes it almost impossible for them to prove who they are.
Wow. I almost need to recover from that. I'm just... That was hard. We gotta Whoa. I mean, I think I just lost my entire IQ for a second. What in the hell was that? They don't want voter ID because they want to cheat. That's what it is. They don't want voter ID because it'll hurt their chances to win. So I don't even know what she just said. I don't even know what that means. I have no idea what she's talking about. Who are you making a copy of your voter ID for? What is she? Who are you sending it to? What is she talking about? What does any of that even mean? I don't think she knows. But she thought she was smart, didn't she? You saw that smirk on her face. Here's Donald J. Trump's response to it. Yeah. I mean, great job by Bret Baier in his interview with Lion Kamala Harris. She has a massive and irredeemable case of Trump derangement syndrome. So bad, in fact, that she is barely able to talk about any subject other than the man who had the best economy ever, the strongest border in history, and who just got the unanimous endorsement of the U.S. Border Patrol, Donald J. Trump. Their endorsement was a tremendous honor. They said that Comrade Kamala did a terrible job, the worst in memory, and can't be allowed to do it again. She is also the worst vice president in history, but hopefully will soon be gone. Again, congratulations to Bret Baier on a tough but very fair interview, one that clearly showed how totally incompetent Kamala is. For the good of our nation, her inferior cognitive ability must be tested at once. Oh, that's good. Do you think Bret Baier is going to be allowed back on the golf circuit with Trump now? You know, I think Trump gave him the blacklist after he called Arizona before the polls closed. I think Bret got blacklisted off the Trump golf list. Do you think he'll be back on? Do you think he's back in good grace? Apparently, you know, Bret Baier, like Trump, is a scratch golfer. So maybe he's redeemed himself in the eyes of the old Trumpster. Maybe he'll be allowed back on the golf circuit after that. Maybe we'll wait and see. So, it's true, though. How many times did she mention Trump? Here's a funny little compilation of all of it in clip 10.
Donald Trump.
What is that? How many times? Actually, play it again. Let's count. Guys, go ahead.
Donald Trump. 19.
I counted 19 times. I don't know. I could have been, may have been a little off there. So at least 19 times. Do you think Kamala Harris could do an interview or talk policy without saying Donald Trump? Do you think she could even do it? Speaking of Donald Trump, he was in the Bronx today. They're probably feeling pretty good, probably high spirits in the Bronx today. The New York Yankees playing well. He goes to the barber shop and a fun time there. Everybody welcomed him. Big crowd outside, big crowd inside. Everybody cheered him on. They all loved him. Clip one. They're all wearing shirts, make barbers great again. And I guess it was called the Knockout Barber Shop. And I guess they grapple and fight where they cut the hair. So that's what that padded floor was all about. He was talking about, I guess, when they're done cutting hair, they move the chairs and then they grapple and spar and fight and work out there. So that's pretty crazy. And then here's a barber in Detroit talking about Trump in clip two.
At the end of the day, I'm Trump because I my eyes open. I can see that he was doing a lot better than what we're going through right now. You can't even go to the grocery stores right now without making a life decision on what you want to get. You know, you got to compromise. We don't have to go through that 4 years ago.
You know, just being able to just live on a day-to-day basis, it has become a little harder at this point in time.
And, you know, that's what it's really all about. And I talk about this often now because it's kind of part of the problem with politics and political debate is it just gets watered down with all these political footballs and issues and just all the wonk, all the noise. And we forget about what is actually going on? What are you actually experiencing? What are the people in Springfield, Ohio experiencing and all these other towns? What are you experiencing when you go to the gas pump, when you go to the grocery store, when you go pay your energy bills? What are you experiencing when you look at your paycheck? You know, these are the things, remove all the noise and deal with the reality. That's the reality. And J.D. Vance talks about the reality here in clip 12.
Well, and then he was president, and take-home pay was going up faster than it had in 40 years. Inflation was low. The border was secure. And remember, they all said Donald Trump was going to start World War III, and yet we had more peace around the globe than we had had in a generation in this country. And you sort of like, okay.
So you remove the noise. That's the reality. And then here's J.D. Vance attacking Harris on the border in clip 14.
These girls, you know, Jocelyn Nungri and Lakin Riley and, of course, Patty's daughter are not dead because of some accident or some force of nature. They're dead because Kamala Harris opened the border and let their killers into our country to go after their daughters. They don't just need our sympathy. They don't just need our kind words, though they certainly deserve that. They need leadership who actually puts the security of this country first. And unfortunately, they're just not getting that from Kamala Harris.
Now, don't be surprised if those barbershops end up getting attacked by the Democrats that run Detroit, run New York City. Because when you publicly support Trump or come out in support of Trump, the Democrats come after you. Now, Andrew Schultz, famous comedian, does all kinds of tours, just had an interview with Trump, talks about something that happened to him right after the interview in clip 11.
And we get an email 3.5 hours out, and 3.5 hours after the interview, they cancel shows. Read the exact email, because they're canceling my shows, but they're also begging Live Nation to not cancel future shows with them. Like, they still want business, but they're not this guy. Now, I don't know if it's a Trump interview, but the day before it came out, we were ready to go, and we were going on sale this week. And 3.5 hours afterwards, we get this email.
Yeah.
First off, I want to thank you for thinking of BAM for Andrew Schultz's upcoming comedy show. We are always excited when promoters consider our space for their events.
No
After
problem.
Some internal discussions with leadership, it was decided that BAM is not the right fit for this show at this time. That said, we really do appreciate you reaching out. We'd love to work with you in the future and for future events that might be a better match for BAM.
Indeed. Yeah, I think we all know. I think we all know what that's about. Pretty obvious. Oh, not a right fit at this time. In other words, you just interviewed Trump. You made him look good. You've supported Trump. You're not a liberal. So, you know, not at this time. You know, maybe come out and talk about liberal progressive issues and maybe talk about how bad white people are or how bad Trump is. Maybe, you know, make a video supporting Kamala Harris. And maybe at that point in time we can do business. But for this time, I just don't think we can. Not right now. Not right now. So you see, that's what happens. And this is why entertainers, athletes, comedians, anybody, business owners, this is why they're afraid to come out in support of Trump publicly, because there's a risk involved. That's what the left does. That's what the establishment does. That's what corrupt government does. So you just witness it. and you make a choice. Do you risk it all? Speak your mind? Do you risk the left trying to destroy your life? Or do you say, the hell with it? I'm going to promote my politics and speak my mind and let the chips fall where they may, knowing the risks. All right, we are concluding hour one of the InfoWars War Room. We got more debates coming up, a great Senate debate in Massachusetts we're going to get to. We got some big legal news dealing with the election. We've also got some big health news coming up with a guest in the third hour. Folks, it is not too late, though the clock is ticking, to get your raffle entries for the monster truck at thealexjonesstore.com. With every purchase at thealexjonesstore.com, you will get entries into the raffle to win the monster truck. So when you go there and buy the t-shirts, whether it's the new t-shirts, the old t-shirts brought back, reimagined, whether it's the ultimate CMOS gummies, whether it's the hats, whether it's the decals, with every purchase at thealexjonesstore.com, you will get raffle entries. But time is running out. So get to the Alex Jones store now to enter the raffle before it's too late.
Obviously, silver is doing way better than gold in growth, and it's way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver. Right? It's like if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that. Right? So they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce. Right? So this is why
they've
central
got so
banks
many quadrillions
gold.
Of fake money. There's too much fiat to even buy the silver. Which I would say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh, so silver, historically, the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all-time highs, silver does better than gold. So silver grows faster. And there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy. The industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
Now, you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.